Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com/CBSSports and use the offer code FUN, F-U-N. Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Roll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, you have pulled away in terms of being a guest today. How's it going?
It was a tough race. I'm also shooting 37% from the field, right. So, you know.
I do feel like you're as good of a three-point shooter as they are this year.
So we got into this thing. We did our three-quarter report yesterday, and we'll talk about this in a little bit. But basically, if you're wondering what we're talking about, the race is basically Victor Oladipo versus Michael Carter-Williams. Right. I strongly will keep saying Steven Adams deserves consideration. I do not care. I'm going to keep banging this drum.
I would actually love that if we actually considered him. I would love that. I think that's dead on.
And we can talk a little bit more about it, but basically, and Reddit is a place where it's an internet community, so things get bad there. I don't like criticizing Reddit because I actually find a lot of what its culture brings, at least in terms of our NBA side, is really good. But yeah, they definitely torched us for our third quarter picks, specifically the Michael Carter-Williams. The two of us had Oladipo, you had Michael Carter-Williams, and people are mad.
People are equally mad at us.
And the real lesson here is no matter who wins Rookie of the Year this year, everyone loses.
I think I wrote it at the mid-season report. I wrote something like this, like regardless of who you pick, this is shaping up to be like Mike Miller against Mark Jackson, and it's not the good Mark Jackson. It's not Coach God Mark Jackson. This is like the fat old ball guy that was like around for 3 years. This isn't anything to remember. And I look at it and like Michael Carter-Williams had a big impact the first 2 months of the season, although he missed some of that with injury. He's got better counting statistics. He has a better PER, but a worse like win shares per 48. Oladipo is a better shooter, but both guys like kind of suck this year, right?
Everyone kind of sucks. I was listening to a podcast the other day. Jonathan from Draft Express, who is the best draft analyst that I know, there's no way around it, was on Paul Flannery's excellent podcast, which if you're not listening to...
Ooh, it's really good.
If you're not listening to The Starters, and you're not listening to that one, and you're not listening to Brian Windhorst, and you're not listening to a few others, you should definitely listen to us. He was talking about how, like, he was basically talking about how this, like this class is overhyped, and it's really, and I keep wanting to be like, let's compare this year's class to last year's class, and take a really good look. That's why that's why I'm excited about it, because I've seen so many drafts where I'm just like, ugh. And this year I'm like, hey. So...
Yeah, I think we'll actually have a Rookie of the Year race that seems fun. Like, someone just tweeted me a comparison for finding, like, who is, like, what this season is about in terms of Rookie of the Year. Oh, okay. At Rockets Nightly just said, it's kind of like dropping some rabbits into a cage of wolves and determining which one died the least. That's the perfect way of describing this.
Oh man, that's really good.
Yeah, it's really good, and that's how that, I agree. Like, I just there's not. I mean, and it's a weird award to care about in the first place. Like, I kind of had this realization in 2011 when going into the season, it was like Kyrie Irving was the man, and then Ricky Rubio was coming over. It was between them as the preseason like Rookie of the Year favorites. I think most people were picking Irving, but I was looking, I was like, okay, like let's say Rubio wins it. What does that mean? Like I was trying to figure out like what the benefit for me was, and I was like, even like as a Wolves fan, I was like, it's not going to change anything. If anything, it just makes his extension more expensive, right? Like,
right. Yeah.
So it is. It's a weird. It's like you had the best first year, Tyreek Evans. Let's forget about the rest of your career. But you had that great rookie year.
Yeah, and I mean, in typical me fashion, like I buy into these early performances. I was like, man, Reek's. I always thought Reek was going to be awesome.
Oh man, obliterated. I was down on him, and then you were like, no, this guy's really good. And then his rookie year, like I covered him. I was still in Sacramento, and that was my first year, like really covering games. And I was all about Reek. I mean,
It shows you how important years 2 and 3 are. I mean,
yeah.
You know, like last year, like Damian was rightfully the rookie of the year. Like he deserved to win it. And he's still he's gotten so much better this year. But then you look at Anthony Davis and you're like, okay, I think it's all right that he didn't win rookie of the year.
Right.
Turns out he's pretty good.
Yeah, I think he'll make it. I think he'll be okay.
You know, and I mean, the list of rookie of the year winners is, I mean, like Kyrie Irving, Blake Griffin, Reek, Rose, Durant, Brandon Roy, Chris Paul, Emeka Okafor, LeBron, Amari, Powell, you know, Mike Miller, love you 2001, 2000 class. But no, and I said on Twitter that Oladipo had pulled away, and you were kind of like pulled away, and I was like, well, it's more of a saunter, really. You know,
he leaned forward.
For me, a lot of it's that I've been watching these Magic games, and late in games in close situations against good teams, I've seen Victor make a bunch of really great plays, scoring, getting to the rim, finding guys underneath. He's shown me a lot in terms of leadership from the perspective of I'm going to go make a play now versus MCW, who did have a triple-double. I like triple-doubles. They're arbitrary, but I think they're fun. But he's also turnover prone and not shooting well, and we knew that was going to be the case with him.
Right.
I think the thing you can say about MCW is he's probably better than we expected. He's still going to be really good. It's okay. Like saying Oladipo should be rookie of the year doesn't mean I'm like, well, MCW is crap. No, well, they're all crap.
Yeah, like, I think you made a good point. You said picking one doesn't mean the other guy has to suck.
Yeah. Like, I mean, realistically, if I wasn't bound by the logic of not wanting to get completely destroyed by everyone because it sounds ridiculous on the surface, I maintain that Steven Adams has had the most impact. If you want to talk about things that actually contribute to basketball wins, Steven Adams has made the most impact. I'm not saying the wins are the end-all, be-all, but I value what Steven Adams does more than what Michael Carter Williams or Victor Oladipo have done, even though those guys are shouldering a bigger load.
Yeah, I agree with that. And like, one of the things I look at, and I'm really trying not to be myself and go against the norm and like be negative about it, but Giannis Antetokounmpo has been like I think we would agree, like most people would agree, he's been a top five rookie this year, right?
Yeah, sure.
Look at his numbers. He sucks. Like his numbers are terrible. Now I don't think he sucks, but if you just like went by numbers. Like, just the raw statistic. Like, he's not good. He's not had a good year. He's fun. He has immense potential. Like, I think he could be the next Nicholas Batum and maybe even a little bit better. I mean, he's going to be a very good player, I think. But he hasn't been good as a rookie. Like, he's just bad as a rookie. But he's fun and he's interesting and he's quirky, so we like him. Like, he's essentially Zooey Deschanel, right? Like, he's quirky, he's kind of looks a little different. Like he's got these funny stories. He has some talents, but we don't get to really see it all that much. And it's going to take a good supporting cast surrounding him, like the supporting cast on New Girl, which you should illegally download and never watch live. Legally download. That's what like makes her work is the cast around him. And like he's never going to be a star or anything, but you put him with a good cast. And he'll be a fantastic player.
Now I'm going through the Bucks roster and trying to figure out who Schmidt is.
Oh, Schmidt would definitely be Larry Sanders, or is that Coach?
No. I think Larry Sanders is probably Schmidt.
OJ Mayo is definitely Nick, right? I just mean that simply from
no OJ Schmidt and Larry Sanders is definitely Nick. Makes bad decisions.
Okay.
Winds up in fights randomly.
Yeah.
You can see him talking to an old Asian dude on a bench.
Yeah, right.
Like this is definitely what should happen. Hey, is our news and notes segment sponsored today?
It is. Our news and notes segment is sponsored by Squarespace.com.
So Phil's official.
Phil is official.
No, he's not official.
Well, reportedly official. Reportedly on his way.
I mean, Melo's answering questions about it, so it's got to be approaching good.
Yeah. We're on the verge of it being there. We talked about it a lot yesterday. It does seem like kind of what you were alluding to of he's just hanging around. He's got his hand in a couple of pots, but well, all right, maybe the pots was a poor choice of word. He's got his hand in a couple of peyotes, but for the most part, like, he's just kind of hanging around. He'll be a figurehead. He'll be there for free agent recruiting, but I do, like, it doesn't sound like he's going to be the guy. They still need a restructuring to find the guy, right?
I'm dying to know how much he's making.
Oh my god. I mean, you think about it.
How much they overpaid for him.
You think about it. Now, this is a weird example, but it's what popped in my head. Jeff Petrie, his second to last contract in Sacramento, he was making like $4.5 million a year. Now, he had had quite a bit of success for quite some time. But like the Maloofs and Sacramento were paying him like over $4 million a year to do what he did for a few years. I got to think that based on market inflation, Phil's prior success as a coach, his personality, what his name means, I can only assume that translates to roughly $45 million a year.
He's making the GDP of a small nation.
I think his paycheck just says Argentina.
Oh, you know, I think it'll help. That was interesting. Melo's comments, they were kind of interesting. I just wrote him up. He said that one, Phil's addition isn't necessarily going to affect his free agency a ton.
Yeah.
It'll probably affect it a little bit. It'll also, I think that'll change once he gets in a room with him and Phil's raw psychedelic magnetism does its work.
Some would say it's secondhand psychedelic magnetism.
I really hope Phil gives him Winnie the Pooh as a book. Do you see what happens when you stick your whole head in a honey jar? Do you see what happens?
Yeah, you get all that honey.
JR says after he reads it.
JR comes crashing through the wall like the Kool-Aid man.
Oh, yeah.
What's funny, though, is he can legitimately ask Phil, are you trying to get the pipe? And Phil would just say, I brought my own.
Well done. I think it'll also help a lot. I do. You're gonna roll your eyes at this one. I did have this thought.
Oh boy. Here we go.
I've watched the league and I've seen how many crazy ass things happen in this league so consistently that part of me wonders if the Lakers go out and Mitch Kupchak's like, yeah, no, we think we added some really great pieces this summer, and it's like last year. Isn't there a possibility, a slight one, that Kobe says, I want to go to the Knicks?
Oh. No, I think maybe a couple of years ago I could see that. But I think at this point, Kobe has a good perspective on what he is and what his career... Like, regardless of what he says, like, he has to say that he has to have the mentality of, no, we can do it, we can do whatever we want to put our minds to. But I think ultimately, like, finishing his career as a Laker and only playing for that organization, I think that matters to him.
I think it'll be interesting. I think if Phil texts him, which you know Phil's going to have absolutely no regard for tampering rules.
Oh, God. He doesn't even know what they are.
I definitely think it's going to be interesting if Phil were to text him and be like, anytime that you want to pick things up, you let me know. I think that would be very hard for Kobe to outright turn down given how the organization has gone, you know?
How does that go, though? I mean...
Now, Laker fans are going to flip out, and Laker fans will tell you, there's a better chance that Melo leaves and joins Kobe in L.A. than there is that this happens. Oh, and the answer is they trade for Amari, and then you have all of the cap space in 2015 in the entire universe.
Yeah, but then you're just recruiting... You don't have anything. Like, that's the thing now is, at least with Kobe in tow, yeah, it's a huge contract number, but you at least say, hey, you see this guy who's been one of the most successful players of all time? You get to be with him for a couple years. you get to be with him until the end of his career, and you get to learn from him. Like that, I think that matters to guys. Like if Carmelo leaves New York for L.A., it's not because L.A. is so fun. Like there's a respect thing with Kobe. Like he's going to want to soak up what he can from Kobe. On the flip side of that, like I mean, it is. I guess it's trying to figure out what mystique Jim Buss can reinstate with the Lakers, right? And so from that standpoint, your idea would be, hey, we're still the Lakers. We have all this cap space. We're going to build with you as our centerpiece. There is no other alpha dog here. Like, you are our number one guy, Kevin Love. So we're going to, you know, I guess that's the extension. And then from there, you have the responsibility of reestablishing what the Lakers are. And for a lot of guys, that would mean something. So maybe that's where your idea really holds something.
I also do think that the Dwight experience is going to have more of an impact than people think it does, because Dwight is buds with all those guys. And
yeah, I'm kind of leaning that way.
The fact that Dwight, and you can say whatever you want about how Dwight should defer, I'm not going to argue with you on those points because it's useless. But I just know that most superstars entering their prime are not going to want to defer to a 35-year-old with bad knees. That's going to be tough for them, no matter how much of a legend he is. Let's throw out the 35-year-old part. And let's throw out the knees part. Let's say that it's Kobe, right?
Right.
They're going to have an immense amount of respect for him, but I have a lot. There's people I have a lot of respect for who I don't want to work with. You know?
Yes. And I mean, I think it definitely matters. Like where Dwight was in his career, regardless of what people think he should have done, you're not getting the guy to defer, like you said.
Yeah.
Like you're just not, but with someone like Carmelo, he's what, 31?
Yeah,
that I could see.
The other thing I wrote about this in the post on Melo, his comments basically saying that Phil's not going to impact his free agency. Let me ring up how that translates. I want the money. I want the money. Give me all of the money. Money is what matters to me. Cash rules everything around me. I love money. That's what
that is. But he said at the All-Star break he'd take a tax cut or a pay cut if he needed to.
He is getting paid. That is Melo. I've maintained this. That is Melo's MO, and I do not blame that guy.
No,
one cent.
There are not a lot of opportunities in life where someone gets offered $130 million over 5 years.
Well, I have kind of taken a Kobe approach on it in that I'm really like, you know what? These guys get exploited all to hell. Like they live really great lives. They get paid a lot of money to play basketball. There's a lot of things that's great about what the NBA provides for them. They also get blatantly exploited considering the amount of revenue they support for these teams versus the percentage that those owners are willing to give them. So from that regard, I don't mind them playing cutthroat.
I mean, there is a certain I like the way the salary structure is set up in the league. I think it's a little out of whack, but for the most part, I'm a fan of it. But when you think about, like, the league's pulling in, what, $5.5 billion this year? LeBron makes $17 million.
Right.
I mean, that's not exactly fair in terms of what he brings versus what he gets. Now, he's still – I mean, it gets made up in some ways. He still makes a ton of money. He, you know, they're – perks to being LeBron, but when you think about it that way, like $5.5 billion, the best player in the world and the biggest star in the sport makes what, 17-18 million? Like that's not exactly a good cut of the pie for him,
right? So we'll have to see how things work out. I do think that things are going to be more, people are still saying Dolan's going to screw it up, and that's possible, but I think Phil brings such a harmony to the Knicks. I mean, it's just, you might even call it a Phil harmonic. That
we don't typically have 19-minute episodes, but I feel like today
I had that one from the beginning of the podcast, and I had it behind my back like a knife.
Yeah, no, you've cut my throat with it. You've given me a Columbia necktie.
So what else is going on? Kobe's not coming back.
Speaking of down for the count.
Yeah, speaking of dead, so is the Lakers season.
There was a little bit of backlash. Not backlash. There was just a little bit of smarminess this morning where I saw on Twitter just briefly, and it was only a couple comments. I don't know how prevalent this was. It was just what I noticed. Was, oh, news that Kobe's done for the year? That's not news at all. You know? Like, that's not news. And I was like, well, it is kind of news. Because it's weird having a season with no Kobe Bryant. Like, that was the realization.
It was definitely news last night when Kevin Ding and Bleacher Report reported it. It was definitely news at that point.
Yeah.
I thought it was really... I mean, the biggest thing is that the Lakers actually finally saying it, being like, no, like it's done.
That's, I mean, this is a guy who's been like, you know, if I can come back, I'm coming back. And this is a guy that has something at stake. Like, all right, now it's probably a long shot, but he technically has a shot at this all-time leading score. Yeah. Like, that matters. There are not many guys who are ever going to have that chance.
And I think on top of it is, I always say we got to watch the whole story progress. That's why I say we got to pay attention to LeBron's free agency stuff and all the other stuff.
Right.
Is you got to watch the whole story. Bryant had a significant injury, came back 6 games later, suffered a fractured leg in the same leg, was supposed to come back in 6 weeks, and now is missing the entire season at age 35.
Yeah.
And you could say you could doubt Kobe if you want, and that's fine. That's part of the story too, right? Like can Kobe – like, this just increases the story if Kobe comes back and is amazing. This just makes it all the better. But on the other hand, it also builds some drama in terms of the Lakers have committed so much money blind to this guy.
Yeah.
And this could have major impacts on their franchise. And this is the most important franchise in the NBA.
I agree. Like, I agree.
LeBron's tenure is going to come to an end in the next – probably, what, you think 4 or 5 years?
Sure.
He'll probably retire 34, 35 because he can. And I was actually thinking about this because I was reading the GQ article on him. He has so many other interests. I really could see LeBron bailing early. Being like,
my kids. There is a certain power move to that, right? Like, that's a power move. Like, I don't need to stick around. Like, I've done what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to move on.
Drop the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd much rather him drop the mic than, you know, see him see him trotting along and playing limited minutes and, you know, the Patrick Ewing fade. No, I don't want to see, or the Hakeem Olajuwon in a Raptors jersey. I don't want to see that.
Nobody ever drops the mic and then puts away the AV equipment.
Right.
They just walk away.
Yeah. So I could definitely see that happening. But the thing is, after LeBron's gone, the league needs the Lakers to be relevant. It desperately needs them to be relevant.
That's how you kind of carry until the next. And I mean, Durant will be there, but there will be a next star after LeBron and Durant is done. But we got carried through the post MJ era because the Lakers were dominant, right?
Yep.
I mean that definitely matters. I completely agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, and it'll be good because, you know, Durant will be in Brooklyn.
Sure. He certainly will.
I do think that is kind of an interesting thing that's kind of developing, though, is the tension between people that believe that OKC success cannot be sustained because their ownership isn't willing to pay, and the idea that eventually Durant's going to want greener pastures and bigger markets. Like, that's going to be a really interesting story to kind of to watch develop. Not necessarily on Twitter, but other places.
This is going to shock you. I hope you're sitting down. I don't put a whole lot of thought into that whole aspect of the league.
Doesn't seem like you.
It doesn't seem like me at all. Just the simple fact that, to me, that assumes the Thunder can't win a title. And I feel like they very much can win a title.
I think they can win a title, but the question is, you know, how is, if, because one of the things that I think is interesting is to watch guys develop as people, at least in terms of the people that we know, the public persona that we get to see, which is not at all who they are. I do think it's interesting to watch these guys develop from how they were early and as they get older and get more confident and their priorities change and they become these, you know, things happen to them. Now, I think Durant has the best possibility of that not happening. I think that he really could just be like, no, I care about basketball and I like it here. Why am I going to move?
Yeah.
You know? Like, I want a title here. What do I care? I think the Thunder can win it this year. I think that they're
I agree. I think they're being quite slept on in terms of title consideration.
Man, Westbrook last night. Holy crap.
He's a player.
He put that move on Beverly.
Oh.
Like, I had to slow it down, and I really wish more people had noticed it because he did it so fast, nobody caught it. I mean, he went all the way right, all the way back left on him in full transition speed, and it was just lightning.
It was filthy. That's a crazy play.
I was really kind of getting concerned about that game last night.
Tensions are quite high with Patrick Beverley versus the world this year, which is really a disappointing follow-up to Scott Pilgrim versus the world. It just doesn't have the same ability. But Russell Westbrook is a pretty good boss.
Jordan White's going to hear this, and he's going to Photoshop Michael Cera with a face mask. I can already see it coming. How dare you, Jordan? Just before you even start.
Yeah, before you dare. Oh, man. This is... tensions are high.
I'm really worried if they're in a playoff series. Like, I'm legitimately like, we might need to get some extra security in the building.
It's funny to me how much... Patrick Beverley isn't an insignificant player, but he's kind of an insignificant player.
He was out of the league a year ago!
Yeah. And there is no middle ground. Like, Rockets fans are like, what, playing defense isn't a part of basketball? And then everyone else is like, he's trying to hurt people because he's a pest and he's not a real basketball player. I'm like, there is some serious vitriol on both sides of the aisle.
It was also funny because I saw some comments. Harden was jabbing with OKC folks last night. And one of the things he said was, y'all loved me when I was here. Ooh. They've really kind of turned on him.
Yeah.
It's and that adds another layer to that. And then you've got that plus Kendrick Perkins when he gets back versus Dwight. You've got Beverly versus everyone. Francisco Garcia versus Durant. Like, and everybody's like, people are gonna listen and say Francisco Garcia versus Durant. Think about Rajah Bell versus Kobe in 2006.
Yeah.
Right, with the clothesline.
Yeah.
I could definitely see that same kind of deal happening. It's a kind of a similar situation. They got into it last night, and Durant hit him in the face. The Rockets fans hate that team because they flop, which, of course, everyone's like...
That's funny.
Everyone's like, you guys realize that when Harden played free... Never mind. it'd make for good drama. I'm just a little concerned that we could have an all-out brawl.
You know what I'm concerned with? Building a website properly.
So tough, man.
It is. But luckily, thanks to Squarespace.com, who sponsors today's podcast, you can easily create your own website, online portfolio for yourself or your business.
They're constantly improving their platform with new features, new designs, and even better support. They've got all these beautiful designs for you to start with, which I think is it's really good to have kind of a template built so you're not trying to custom build. I built all these websites using WordPress, and before that I was on Blogger, and a lot of templates are really bland, and the ones on Squarespace I've looked at are really good. Like, they're high quality. You're going to get a good feel for your website, which I think is important.
Yeah, it's really sharp, and they give you really good options. And for really the important part is they give you the options, and then they give you the support you need. You can use it very easily, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If something goes wrong, they're there in New York, over 100 employees on the customer care team. And you know what it's called. It's called the Care Bear Lair because they take care of you like a bear would.
And that's – okay. And that's and that's really – just this image of this bear nuzzling you now. I want to say 100 guys, it's actually really important. Not guys, people. I'm sure there are fine women on the crew as well, but 100 folks in the office, that's huge, because whenever I've worked with support staffs, I've always got like a crew of like 5 guys, and usually 5 of them are out of the office whenever I call.
Right.
Whenever my sites crash, that's when I need the help the most, and usually they're not available. Having that kind of support staff available, that's huge, especially with it being 24 hours a day. I've been up at 3 o'clock and realized that my site was down. Nobody could help me. You know, having Squarespace, I think, is a huge advantage on that.
And I mean, that's something where some places you spend $20-$30 a month. Not at Squarespace, $8 a month. It comes with a free domain name if you sign up for a year.
Yeah, that is a fraction of what I spent on building websites. That's a really good deal, especially when you get everything that comes with it.
Absolutely, and every design, doesn't matter how much support you need for that website. Every design is going to come with a unique mobile experience. Look at it, any smartphone, any tablet, any computer, it's all going to look great.
That's huge too, because I'm always trying to look at stuff on my phone. Whenever the website doesn't have a mobile feel to it, I get really frustrated.
Or if they just have a basic, bland mobile setting like that, sometimes that can just make me not want to read something online.
And you don't need, you can start a free trial, no credit card required. You can start building your website today. That's great.
Absolutely, yeah. You can start right now. You could pause this podcast, start right now.
No.
Wait until it's done. But decide to sign up for Squarespace. Go ahead and use the offer code FUN, that's FUN. You get 10% off. You show your support for the Ion Basketball podcast, which thanks Squarespace for their support.
So third quarter report.
We did some awards. We talked about the Rookie of the Year award a little bit. You and Royce had Victor Oladipo. I took Michael Carter-Williams. I think we can both agree, like, if we swapped it, would you really have a problem?
No, it's fine. Yeah, MCW wins. I'm not gonna be angry.
I wouldn't be angry if Oladipo wins. Like, I think both have pretty much equal cases.
Are there any of them that you feel really strongly about? I mean, I know you don't like doing the awards until the end.
Yeah, I mean, it is hard for me to really get up, because I do think, like, I don't like making up my mind before we have all the information, you know? But if we're just, like, the whole if it ended today, I think my most improved pick of Blake Griffin, like, that's the one I feel the most strongly about.
Yeah, I don't mind that one at all. I think Blake's got a good case. He won't ever win because star players don't win most improved, which is crap.
And that's kind of the thing I want. Like, I want that to be part of the conversation for most improved, because I do think it's a much harder jump to go from a star to a superstar, or a good player to a star, than it is to be like, oh, I'm in the league a couple of years, I'm pretty good. Oh, now I'm really good.
I don't feel strong about any of the six man guys. Like, I had Taj, and I think Taj would be a great choice, but I don't feel strongly about anybody.
I had Taj at the halfway point, and I almost picked him and made it a sweep for us. And I just thought, like, all right, well, technically Jamal Crawford. I mean, all you need is, and granted, I probably like Jamal Crawford more than anybody else that isn't a Clippers fan, and probably more than I should. But the criteria is simply to start more games or to come off the bench for more games than you start. And he started, like, I don't know, like 23 games so far this year. Like, he started a healthy amount, but that was mostly injury induced with the Redick injury. And I just think, like, his scoring has been so good off the bench, and he's actually, like, not completely non-existent on defense now, that I don't know. I kind of want to reward him for continuing to shape his game. And I mean, if you said no, Taj Gibson is getting this award, he deserves it more than anybody else, I wouldn't fight you on it. But I kind of thought, like, Crawford's been arguably the best of his career, and I think that matters.
I will say the one I'm probably most I feel the strongest about is Ryan McDonough for XLY. I think I wrote a big thing about how you need to look at the future of the organization, how the executive has set you up for that,
yes,
as well as the current roster. I think when you look at coach hiring, what he did in terms of pulling in and getting rid of talent, because moving Gortat was a gamble, and it worked out really well for them considering what they got in return, which is a future asset. They didn't get anything currently, but you opened up room for Plumlee, who's been fantastic.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
They've got so many draft picks. Harnisek is really kind of the diamond of this. Getting Bledsoe, I think moving Caron Butler, the way that he shaped that roster, I love, and they're great now, and they've got the potential to get better in the future.
Yeah, and they have the room to really they have the room and they have the assets to really go get, like, if kind of what I've heard with people talking about, like, oh, will Love leave for LA? A lot of people have changed the subject, and they're like, what if Phoenix went after Love? You know, like, they could legitimately go get him and not have to really give up anything. Like, they're just in a great position to go get whoever the top free agent is, within reason, but, like, there's not a lot of argument you could say for why a guy wouldn't want to go there.
Coach of the Year is going to get a lot. This one I find gets more reaction from people than I always expect.
Yeah.
Because I always expect the players to get more of them, but most of the players are kind of settled. It's like if Durant, there's going to be Durant versus LeBron argument. I'm a little surprised that there's still as much of a conversation, honestly. LeBron's fantastic, and I always tend to want to guard against voter fatigue, but I just think I've watched Kevin Durant play. Like, I don't know. Like, he dropped 42 last night, and I shrugged. I had to look back and go, oh, he dropped 42.
Yeah.
Because it just made sense in the flow of the game for him to have done so. But Coach of the Year always gets a lot of reactions, and I always get, especially everyone wants Pop to win it every single year. You've got Pop. I've got no problem with Pop winning. I've got no problem with Stotts winning. I think he's done a terrific job. It's not been great over the last month.
Yeah.
I've got no problem with a number of guys. There are some guys I would definitely argue against.
Like,
but
Thibodeau, I'm kind of surprised we're not getting killed for nobody having Thibodeau.
I got killed.
Oh, did you? I haven't gotten anything.
I get murdered on it because I genuinely don't believe that he is in the same class as the other guys this year. I think he's just a level below. I think he's been fantastic. I think what he's done with the injuries and losing everybody is great, but a lot of it, I also go, man, that locker room has an identity that it holds to. And that's – Tibbs has shaped that. But yeah. X's and O's wise, I can't look at it and go, they've been – you know, they've been that good. Like, is he top five? Yeah, he's top five. But I think Pop, Hornacek, and Stotts are above him. So,
what about Vogel?
That's a really interesting one, too.
I kind of think, like, if they hadn't hit that little slump recently, like, I kind of think that killed his chance, which isn't fair, but it's just how it is.
It's weird because I feel like Eric Spoelstra is going to go win an award. He's going to eventually wind up winning it with a team with less talent.
Yeah.
And yet Vogel's not going to win, even though he has less talent than Miami.
Right.
You know, it's shows you these awards are, of course, you know, ridiculous. But yeah, I think Vogel deserves votes. He's not going to get as many. I think the votes are going to go Tibbs, Pops, Hornacek, Stotts. Those are the way it's going to go, and that will break down from east to west.
Yeah, how that will go. I agree with that.
Should be entertaining.
Defensive Player of the Year was really hard for me, and I had Hibbert all written up, and then at last second I was just like, I'm kind of with Noah just because he defends the perimeter. It was very much a Marc Gasol kind of realization for me.
I had this idea last year about revamping the MVP to be a trifecta, where you've got most impactful defensive player of the year and offensive player of the year, and you'd have to win all three of them in order to be considered the MVP, which is convoluted and ridiculous. I just think it's fun.
Sure.
Noah is the only guy this year that would qualify, that would rank top three to top five in all three of those categories. He's the only guy that would have even votes for the trifecta. He wouldn't win, but he'd have to be the only one that would be able to vote for it. Hibbert has been so bad the last month that, which is hard for me to say because I really love watching him play, but he just, last night he was really good, but
yeah.
Overall, and it's been weird just watching him not make rotations. I've been wondering if he's hurt because he's just not making rotations, not making
plays. Yeah, he doesn't seem to be moving that well.
Yeah. And that's not good. Meanwhile, you know, there's a lot that goes into defense that you and I always pay attention to in terms of rotations, but I also have to temper myself and not focus so much on the subtle stuff that I ignore the big stuff. And Noah just makes plays, man.
Yeah, he just makes a ton of plays.
He swallowed up LeBron last Sunday. That's a good example of what he does. When he gets really engaged, there are not a lot of guys better than him in terms of what he does. I am surprised that I really can't say that there's a wing guy that should be in contention this year. And I always kind of pull for the wing guys because I think that's really hard in this year in the NBA now. But Paul George has been good, but I don't think that he's been exceptional. And
no.
I don't think that Iguodala has been exceptional.
No, I agree with that. I think not for winning the award, but let's just talk all defensive team. Like, I kind of want Kevin Durant in there for at least the second team.
Yeah,
I really think Durant's been a spectacular defender this year.
I think you got to put James first team, but I think Durant definitely goes second team.
Yeah,
small forward.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I definitely agree with that. I think you got to go first team. Hibbert, Noah, James,
George,
probably Paul George.
Yeah.
And then
Lowry, Conley? They'll put a guard in there. Oh, they'll put Chris Paul in there.
Yeah, it should be Mike. Mike's honestly.
Yeah.
Mike's probably the best defensive point guard in the league at this point, which I
I would say either him or Lowry, but yeah, you can give the nod to Mike. I'd be fine with that.
I only say Mike because he's got a little bit more length on him. But yeah. Lowry has been great too. That Raptors Nets game the other night was great.
The Raptors have just been really fun to watch the last month.
Yeah.
Like, every game, I love their effort. I love the execution. I love the way DeRozan and Lowry are playing. They've just been really fun to watch.
So you hate making assertions based off of not having all the data. So yeah. let me definitely ask you this question: who's going to get the 8th seed
in the West?
Who's in? Who's out?
Suns and Wolves are. Well, Wolves are obviously out. Suns are out. I'll say Grizzlies and Mavericks make it.
Here's the problem. Dallas will win 4 games, and I will take note, and I'll even watch maybe one of them, but then I will pay special attention to that 5th game, and that 5th game was that Warriors game last night.
Yeah.
And I think they were on back-to-back, but even then I'm just like, you are so bad defensively. You are so bad defensively. How can this team possibly make the playoffs with that kind of defense? And then they play really well for the other 4 games, so... Yeah.
Actually, Phoenix has kind of an easy schedule.
I've heard different things on it. Apparently, from what I haven't actually looked at it. From what I hear, it's they play bad opponents on the road.
Yeah.
That's what I've been told it is. Because some people are like, they all play whims. And then last night, I think the Warriors broadcast mentioned that a ton of them are on the road.
I think Memphis is definitely in. And for me, it's just deciding between Phoenix and Dallas.
Yeah.
The rest of the way.
Minnesota's got, they're only 5 back.
Yeah, that's, I mean, sure.
If they lost that game last night to Milwaukee, would your reaction have been a shrug, or would you have thrown things?
I actually, I'm not even kidding, I would have been happy. Because it just means keep your draft pick. I really want them to finish 500, and I want them to keep their pick. Like, those are my 2 goals for the rest of the year. But keeping the pick is the more important thing to me.
You're going to have a hard time because, like, Detroit's in that conversation. Detroit's like, nope, we're getting that pick back. No, sir.
There was an interesting little conversation I had with somebody last night of wouldn't it, if Phoenix looks like they're going to be out, like if let's say they're 2 games out with like 5 to play, would it behoove them to tank the last 5 games to try to finish below Minnesota because they get Minnesota's pick?
Oh, that's wow.
There's a little bit of intrigue there.
Wow.
Yeah. That would be some serious tanking.
God, Wolves fans would hate them forever.
Oh, they would be furious.
Oh, God, that's weird. Goran Dragic is out with flu-like symptoms.
Eric Bledsoe is out with being locked in his house.
Miles Plumlee's been chained up like Hannibal.
The Morris twins have passport problems. But they're playing in the U.S. They have passport problems.
Well, I'll tell you, one thing that might help you, Denver, even though they had a miserable loss the other night, Denver doesn't want to lose. Denver will play to the end.
Yeah, that's Brian Shaw trying to establish a culture, right?
Yeah, well, and I think those guys in the locker room are a little bit pissed off about their record. Yeah. They're like, I think Ty Lawson in particular, because Ty Lawson's taken a ton of heat around Denver.
That's crazy to me, though. He's played so well, and they've been so injured.
Here's a good example of what happened. So, in a scrum, a reporter asks, are the losses starting to kind of affect the team, or is it hurting morale? It's a softball question. That's a softball question.
Right.
And Ty, as the best player on the team, has to be very careful, because in that kind of a situation, especially given the conversations that have gone on around Denver, he could very easily make a comment, and it could be construed as him throwing either his coach or his players under the bus. We see it a lot, where guys will say, I don't know, you're going to have to ask those guys, or, even Pierce had some comments about Kidd earlier in the season when they were really struggling. And what Lawson said was, it's not personally affecting me. It's not getting to me. And what he was trying to say is, you know, I understand where we're at as an organization. We're still trying to play well. I'm not, you know, I don't put, they've been very adamant this is not on Shaw. The veterans have been very adamant the problem is not Brian Shaw, which has really been surprising given what's gone on in that locker room.
Yeah.
But they've really had his back publicly. The problem is when Lawson said that, the quote that got out was that the losses don't bother him.
Yeah, and, that's stupid.
Yeah, and Denver radio picked it up. And I got hit with it blind on a radio call. And was like, I haven't talked to Lawson, and I haven't the reporter that wrote it. So I don't know, but I'm going to bet it was this.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they've been – Lawson's taking a ton of heat around here, and he's been fantastic. He's been their best player, but they're all pretty focused on trying to play better. Fareed's been playing better. Randy Foy, by the way, who I had not had a lot of experience with in the league, has been so great this season, not only from a playing perspective, but he's been the guy that answers questions after every game when Ty was out. He has taken responsibility for what's gone on. He's been very open about the problems without throwing anybody under the bus. He's played hard every single game. He has conducted himself as like the pro. I've been really impressed with Randy Foy this year.
Yeah, I've only heard good things about him as a person.
So, yeah, I think there's a good chance that many can keep that pick. I mean, New Orleans is going to tank out. Detroit's going to tank out. New York's going to keep trying to climb. So I could see Phoenix, Denver, and New York as possible teams that could pass them.
Yeah, I mean, I think Minnesota is going to finish with a 500 record or better, but they just can't be the last one out. If they're the last one out, they lose their pick. And I mean, why you wouldn't put full lottery protection on a pick that you are sending in order to get rid of Wes Johnson, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's David Kahn. Still feeling the mess. So somebody actually asked me the other day, like, when are we gonna stop like with these like remnants of David Kahn? I was like, no, this pick is the last thing. And I was like, well, you know, unless Kevin Love leaves because he didn't get a 5-year max. But other than that, this pick is the last thing.
See, if we're going to go down tank conspiracy lane, how about this one? It's the last game. And if they win, they lose the pick. And the whole team is kind of like, eh. And then Kevin Love goes out and scores 60. Because if they lose the pick, it makes it easier for him to leave.
And it's against Utah. He can score 60 against Utah.
And then he says, I just want to go out and compete.
We're just trying to win. Just trying to get better every day.
Oh, this league is amazing.
Oh, it's frustratingly fun.
I'm starting to do playoff picture stuff. I know it's too early, but I like tracking the progress.
We're about there.
You're going to see those. I'll probably do one maybe today. If not, I'll do one on Friday. And then starting on the 19th, I'll be doing them every day for the full month.
Yeah.
So you'll get your daily playoff picture from us in terms, and I track all the magic numbers and stuff like that, which like those are really fun to look at right now.
I do like your tragic number.
Yeah.
Thing you're doing. That's a pretty good one.
Like tragic that. Number for when you're eliminated is pretty fun. The Wolves are still out there. I think they're in double digits still.
Yeah, it'll be right up until the very end. They'll be just close enough.
Just close enough. Anything else?
No.
Let's do one quick draft before we go. Oh, you want to do games?
Oh, yeah, let's do games.
Do this and then hope that the audio video doesn't start.
There are an excessive amount of games tonight.
I've worked 3 nights in a row. I'm not going to lie. I'm out. I'm done.
Oh, no. I had Monday off. I had a game last night. I think I had a game Friday. And then last week I had 3 home games and like 2 nights of not working. I've had a very easy schedule the last 2 weeks.
I worked 3 nights in a row and I'm just like, you know, this has been good to kind of get reacclimated because you go through these stretches where you don't work.
Right.
And then you want to get out and enjoy or spend time with the wife and kid and all that. And then I'm like, oh, it's been good to kind of see the teams. Like, I've got a better feel for how they're playing now. But now I'm like, yeah, I'm done until Sunday. Like, I'll watch the games probably tonight, like late tomorrow. I'll still keep in track of things, but I'm definitely disengaging from being so involved.
Yeah.
Heat. This is an interesting one. Heat versus the Nets tonight, national television game. The Heat are favored by 8.
Oh, I like that.
I think Garnett's still out with the back spasms. And I think that Pierce is going to play through the shoulder.
Yeah, the Heat are at home, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take the Heat. They should roll the Nets.
I'm worried about it, but I'm taking Miami by 10. So, Magic are 1-point dogs at home to the Nuggets.
1-point dogs. Nuggets. No, Nuggets should win that.
I'm taking Orlando. I don't like – they're on a road trip, and the losses pile up on road trips for this team, I've noticed.
Yeah.
The Kings are 9-point favorites versus the Philadelphia 76ers. It's actually up to 9.5.
Well, they just covered against the Knicks.
Don't talk about it. So mad.
I like how I was just yelling at you, like, there's no way, and it was really kind of a backdoor cover.
They were up 19 with 4 minutes to play, and the Knicks couldn't cover. Right. Why do you Knicks so hard, Knicks?
I'm riding a hot Sixers team. I mean, they've lost 17 in a row, but in terms of covering against bad teams, I'm riding them. I think the Sixers cover.
The Wizards are 4.5-point favorites versus the Bobcats tonight at home.
Oh, I'll take the Wizards, but I don't feel good about that.
It's a little bit of a trap game. I'm taking the Wizards too. Charlotte, this is the kind of game Charlotte loses. Like, I mean, I'm getting better at being able to identify the games that Charlotte loses and the ones that they really can win.
Yeah.
It's not just home versus away. It's this Wizards team has the exact kind of makeup that gives them issues.
Yeah.
Toronto is favored by 9. It's up to 9.5 versus Detroit.
Ooh.
Detroit's on a back-to-back.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Give me Toronto.
The Knicks are 4.5-point favorites. They're in Boston tonight. No Amari Stoudemire, no Tyson Chandler.
Ooh, no Ty Chan. I'll still go with the Knicks.
The Grizzlies are 3-point favorites on a back-to-back on the road versus the Pelicans. It's up to 3.5.
Yeah, give me the Grizz.
Yeah, Memphis is red hot right now. And yeah. Last time I doubted them. Like, they lost a back-to-back versus the Bobcats, but I'm pretty sure they trounced New Orleans on the last back-to-back that they had. The Mavericks on a back-to-back are in Utah. That's a tough one. Going Golden State and then Utah on the altitude on a back-to-back is tough. Mavericks are 5-point favorites.
Well, they didn't really play last night, so I will say the Mavericks are fresh and they go and win.
This is the kind of game Dallas wins and then everyone feels better about them.
So. Yeah, for sure.
The Spurs are 7.5. This is interesting. The Spurs are 7.5-point favorites at home versus the Blazers. Blazers on back-to-back, road after playing in Memphis last night.
That's a lot of points, though. Mm-hmm. I like Portland to cover. I think the Spurs win, but I like Portland to cover.
San Antonio is a death machine right now. I'm staying away from them.
They're really good.
The whole year I've been, and it's weird because people think that, I understand why, people think that I'm unnecessarily harsh on them, but I would watch these games and they would win because of their execution and their overall talent level, but I would have to say, like, this wasn't a very impressive Spurs performance, and until they play at that level, I grade them on a curve because they've been doing this so long, I kind of have to.
Sure.
San Antonio is the best team in the league right now. They're just murdering everyone. That Bulls destruction. Oh,
that was incredible.
The Suns are favored by 8.5 tonight. Bledsoe's return.
Yeah.
Cavaliers in town.
Yeah, they'll kill him.
You think?
Yeah. I think they need a bounce back, and I think Bledsoe's return, even if it's limited minutes, he'll bring the energy and it's just gonna drive them through.
It's 8.5. I've got them winning by 9. It's down to 8.
Yeah, I think it's a double digit win for them.
Makes me a little nervous, but the Cavs are so bad on the road.
Yeah.
And then the Warriors. This feels like, remember early in the season when the Warriors, Clippers, and Lakers were all playing each other on back-to-backs, and then whoever was not on the back-to-back at home would kill the other team?
Yes.
That's what's going on again here. The Clippers are at home versus the Warriors. Warriors on the back-to-back at 7-point. Clippers are favored by 7.
I have the Clippers to cover both with the score and Chapel admittance. Oh, I don't think they admit anybody into the Chapel.
Not a rivalry, though. Can't have any of those rivalries. Can't have any of those rivalries in this NBA. Everyone has to deny them.
Yeah, no, we're done with those. Everyone's friends now.
If we get, man, if we get Golden State Clippers and Rockets Thunder first round,
woo.
I don't know how the Portland would have to make a big jump, but ugh. It's going to be a lot of blood in these playoffs, man.
Yeah. And then that Spurs-Wolves series will be great.
Yeah.
I just made myself sad on purpose.
That's the thing is they would get destroyed in the first round anyway, but it would just be like, oh, hey, they made the playoffs.
Yeah, that's strictly a media guide thing. I mean, it would matter. Like, you need – I don't know. The thing to me is, like, people are like, oh, this season's been terrible. I'm like, they're 32 and 31. They've never had a season like this without Kevin Garnett. Never. They're over 500 in March. Like, they're going to have meaningful games in April. Like, yeah, they're not going to make the playoffs, but – this is a good team. Good enough? No, but it's a good team. Like, calm down.
Is it the close losses? Is it the disappointing losses? Is it not winning?
No,
is it not beating good teams?
It's Kevin Love might leave. That's what it is. It's paranoia that, oh my God, if we don't make the playoffs, Kevin Love's going to leave. And Ethan had a great point when he was on the podcast last week. He was like, isn't next season the important season?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, in a way I look at it, the positive way to look at it is, 6 months ago, everybody thought LaMarcus Aldridge was out of Portland.
Yeah.
You know? And this team's not that far off from being able to put together that kind of a team. You know? Like, I'm not saying it's likely, but, you could see a couple of tweaks this offseason and them having a run like that.
It's interesting with the money that Rubio is going to wind up. They had to keep money open for Rubio, and Peck got the big extension and Love's deal. And they added Brewer and Martin in the offseason. It's interesting. What would you want them to do? If you were there to ask you, like, here's a survey card. What should the Wolves do next in the offseason? Where should they add guys?
I'm going to write this up in the next probably couple weeks. I have a realistic home run move that I want them to do. And I'll tell you about it when we're done. But I don't want to say it yet because I want to write it up. But there is something. But realistically, like, without mentioning that, upgrade the backcourt in terms of coming off the bench. I really think that's all they need to do. You get a better, more stable backup point guard. You get a shooter off the bench. Like, this team needs shooters. They suck in terms of shooting. They've had, in their 25 years of existence, they have finished in the top half of the league in 3-point percentage 6 times. Top half, 6 times. Made the playoffs 5 of those years. Like, they're like 24th in, like 24th or 25th in field goal percentage. They're 27th or 28th in 3-point percentage. Like, they can't hit shots. Like, they can get to the free throw line, and that helps their offensive efficiency. But end a game, like, you're not getting to the free throw line 12 times in the last 3 minutes of a game. Like, you have to be able to hit shots, and they can't hit shots. And that's what it boils down to. So get guys that can hit shots.
I'm not an expert, but hitting shots seems to be a good part of basketball. I mean, analytics may dispute that.
But. Right. I have a post that's going up on A Wolf Among Wolves, probably like within a half hour of posting this, where I open the post that says the Minnesota Timberwolves need to hit more shots. The end. and then I go on to, like, okay, that's not the end, but that's extremely short analysis of this team. And that's just it. They have to hit shots. They don't hit shots. Like, you can say, oh, the rotation this, and Kevin Love defense that, and Rubio shooting that. Like, no, the team just misses shots. Sometimes it's that simple. And I'm starting to come to the conclusion that it's just that simple.
Well, it's pretty simple. Then I'm going to go write some more posts and then go play Titanfall. So.
I still don't know what Titanfall is, but maybe you can explain that to me tomorrow.
How have you not seen the commercials?
I don't know. I've been watching a lot of Grown Ups 2 lately. Not a lot of Grown Ups 2, but I've been watching an excessive amount of movies, even for myself.
Anything good?
No, I watched Now You See Me, which was just frustrating.
I actually liked it. I thought it was okay.
I the buildup was good, and then it's like, here's this twist, and it's like, that's not a twist. That's just you keeping information from us for an hour and 40 minutes. Like, that's not a twist. Like, oh, it was this guy the whole time. It's like, you never alluded to any possibility of that. Like, there's no rewatching that movie and like, oh, yep, I can see it. Like, no, it was just like, oh, we've got this secret inside info and you're not going to get it till the end. Like, that's just terrible writing.
And that Shyamalan thinks it's a bad plot twist.
Right, exactly. Like, that was my problem. Like, I was, like, they build up, and I actually liked the characters and the acting inside, and then it was just like, really? That's your finishing move? That's what you got for me? You come to that two count, the third count for the referee, my arm's going straight up. You're not finishing me with that move. That's all I got.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, Matt.